beautiful city. Amen. Thank you, dear sister, for sharing that with us. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds now to receive thy holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's a little chilly in here, but God's word will stir and warm our hearts. Is that all right? Pray that God's word will stir and warm our hearts. Most of you have heard, I've shared with you a million times, that I grew up in a small town in southern New Jersey. And anyone who knows about New Jersey, you may or may not be familiar with the nickname. Anybody know the nickname of that beautiful state? Garden State. Very good. Trivia king over here. Garden State. Nickname of New Jersey because it is filled with gardens. Some say farms, some say gardens. And not so much toward the center or the north. New York, the messiness of New York spills over and messes up that beautiful state. But down south, where I was raised, is hundreds and hundreds of acres upon acres upon acres of beautiful garden and farm land. In fact, at the very end of the street that I grew up on was a massive farm. And I can remember in the mornings we would catch the school bus to go to school early in the morning, around 6:15, 6:20, our school bus would come. And we picked up, and as we made it to the end of the street, we would see that farm would be filled with laborers, filled with workers early in the morning, filling up their crates and their buckets with produce. Every single morning, we would see them working out there in the field. We'd go spend our day at school, learn what we could learn, not learn what we couldn't learn, and then on our ride back home, we would pass that very same field, seeing those same individuals and trucks and crates filled with people in that farm. From time to time, they would ride by our home and hit a speed bump or hit some kind of a bump in the road, and they would drop a crate or two of eggplant or cabbage and tomatoes, and my mom would see it and send us out there to go grab some free dinner to come into the house and to eat. And so I can recall one particular summer, a group of friends of mine, we went out to that end of that street, the farm, to pick some blueberries. New Jersey is known for their blueberries, and we had a blueberry farm way down at the end. They told us for each crate that we filled, each little bucket, I don't know the name of it, but each little thing we filled, they would exchange for a particular sum of money. So we were excited. We thought, man, all we have to do is pick berries and we can make some money. That sounded like good news. But as we went out there and began to bend over and to pick, over a short period of time, our hands started to hurt. Lazy kids. Our hands started to hurt. Over a short period of time, bending over, picking those berries, tiny little berries off of the little bushes, our backs would start to hurt. It felt like the sun would come closer and closer and just burning us on the back of the neck as we spent those 20 minutes, 30 minutes in that blueberry field. And because we had spent so much time laughing and joking and throwing blueberries at each other, at the end of just about 30 minutes, we looked at our little bucket and it was half empty. There was barely anything in there, so we took a handful of blueberries to eat, left the buckets in the field, and walked on home. We didn't get paid anything that day. But what we came to find out that day was that it looked easy. The bushes were filled with blueberries just waiting for us to pick. It looked easy, but it was much more challenging than we had imagined. In our story this morning, we find Jesus walking and talking among the people. As you read through the Gospels, we always seem to find Jesus walking and talking with the people, socializing with the people, building relationships and friendships. Jesus wasn't the kind of pastor that just locked himself inside of his office. Jesus had to rebuke me on that. I spend too much time in that office. Jesus wasn't the kind of person that said, if you want to see me, schedule an appointment and maybe I'll try to fit you in. Jesus was always proactively walking and talking with his people. Jesus wasn't the kind of synagogue member who would sit in the synagogue and just wait for the people to come in, but he was constantly connecting with others, praying for opportunities to share his love, and we can all learn a lesson from the example of Jesus, can we not? All of us can learn a lesson from Christ's example. In Matthew chapter 9, go with me there. That was our verse that was read today. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus had spent a long series of days helping other people. As you look through that chapter alone, Jesus, you find him healing the blind, the mute, the paralyzed, restoring life, and encountering and connecting even with tax collectors, and the Bible refers to as sinners. Jesus did so much that the Bible writer sums it up in verse 35. We'll see there on the screen, Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus had done so much, it sums it up. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities, Langley Park and Wheaton and Greenbelt and Upper Marlboro, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus spent his days ministering to the masses. I'm not sharing anything that you all don't already know. Jesus spent his days ministering to the people. And look at verse 36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Say it again. He was moved with what? With compassion for them. Why was he moved with compassion? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. You see, day after day, Jesus walked through these cities and towns, and he saw the very same things we see each and every day. Jesus saw homeless people. Have you ever encountered a homeless individual? As I was running into church this morning, I ran past a homeless individual. Jesus, as he walked through the towns and cities, he saw beggars. He saw crimes taking place before his very eyes. Jesus breathed in that dusty, polluted air from the overcrowded cities with litter and with trash along the streets. You know, in today's world, we have these massive hospitals, Shady Grove and Holy Cross, that house the sick and the infirmed. But in Jesus' day, many of those sick individuals walked and roamed through the streets. Many of those who had mental illnesses and infections and fevers, undiagnosed and untreated diseases, these were the people that Jesus encountered on a daily basis. There was so much hurt. There was so much suffering. So many people were living without hope and without purpose. Have you ever encountered people living without hope and without purpose? That the Bible says his heart was moved with compassion. Have you ever witnessed anybody that was suffering? You all know a few months back, my little girl was sick, and I remember there was days we would just look at her in the bed with fever and IVs, just suffering, and it does something to your heart. You all have your own experiences, maybe a family member, a loved one, or a friend, just seeing the suffering of other people, sometimes it just moves you to want to do something. Jesus was moved with compassion, but not the kind of compassion that you just feel terrible and then change the channel to find something that makes you feel happier. Jesus was moved with the kind of compassion that stirs you to where you cannot sit still. That stirs you to a point where you can't simply just watch these things day after day after day, but stirred with a compassion that moved him into action. That stirred Jesus to do something. Has anything ever moved you to do something? This was the instance and the case that we find with Jesus. Down in verses 37 and 38, we begin to feel the humanity of Christ. It reads, then he said to the disciples, say this part with me, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let's read 37 again. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus finishes up his work in the particular city, and as he picks up his things to move over to the next town, I just can't help but to imagine that Jesus pauses for a moment. His legs and his feet hurt from walking from town to town, from standing in places for hours at a time. Jesus is thirsty from teaching in that dry desert air. His back aches and he's tired. You see, we find in Mark chapter 1, the people pressed him day after day after day. He would go away to pray and then they would say, "Jesus, where were you? The people, they're waiting for you. The people are looking for you." Jesus was tired. But with the determination of a mother to get her fallen and hurting child, I imagine that Jesus picks up his things and he whispers with a tear in his eye, "There's so much work to do. There is so much work to do. But Father, I need help." The harvest, the field, there's work to do. The crops, those blueberries, the crops are prepared. They're ready, but there's just so few laborers, so few people that are willing to help. As I read these passages over and over, we've all heard these passages before. As I read them over and over to myself, I asked, why are there so few laborers? The other day, we went to Whole Foods. Anybody ever been to Whole Foods? That's an expensive store, isn't it? Went to Whole Foods, and when you walk in Whole Foods, particularly in Silver Spring, you are greeted with wall-to-wall, shelf-to-shelf with delicious, colorful produce of all kind. Have you been there? Carrots and radishes and spinach and fresh fruit and grapes and apples and mangoes. And as we shopped on that particular day, we were more than happy, as were the other customers in the store, to fill our carts to their full, all that our budget would allow, fill our carts to their full with the fruit and the vegetables that we had seen there. At home, we would eat these fruits and produce and fresh goods to our heart's content. We love eating fresh produce. How about you? How many of you enjoy eating some good fresh fruit and vegetables? In the same way, we are all excited when the church is full. How many of you enjoy seeing church full? Baccalaureate Sabbath, J&A, I mean wall-to-wall seat, people filling the seats. International Sabbath, where first come, first serve, balcony filled with people. Wouldn't you love to see first service with 350 people? 400 people lining the pews to come hear the gospel of Jesus. In fact, I'm sure you wouldn't find any Seventh-day Adventist who would be disappointed to see the baptistry filled every single Sabbath with more and more people giving their hearts to the Lord. Who wouldn't enjoy seeing that? Imagine the write-ups in the Columbia Union Visitor, Tacoma Park Church baptizes 300 people. Would you enjoy that? Anwire, Pastor Wright, would you enjoy that? Baptizes 300. Great revival in the Washington Post. Great revival at Tacoma Park Seventh-day Adventist Church. One of the denomination's oldest congregation experiences astounding growth. CNN reporting Tacoma Park, the fastest growing local congregation in North America. But what the Lord revealed to me, or rather reminded me, is that though we all want this, most of us are not willing to lift a finger to make it happen. While we want this growth, while we want the fruit and the blueberries and the results of the produce, not too many of us are willing to disrupt our comfortable lives. Not too willing to disrupt our routine to join Jesus out there on the farm. Are there souls thirsty for hope? You better believe there are souls that are thirsty for hope. Are there people all around us who are desperately searching for truth and direction and a better life? Hundreds of them. Are their crops ready right now to receive Jesus into the hearts. Not a day goes by that there are not. So what's the problem? I submit to you that the problem is that harvesting takes some work. Harvesting does not make us comfortable. When we look at the produce section of the grocery store, we rarely think of those farmers that toiled and sweat they put in to reap that bountiful harvest. You see, we as church members, we want quick harvests. We want quick church growth. We want pain-free harvest. We want to go out on those farms only when it's 70 degrees outside. And we get comfortable chairs to sit in, fresh, cool water and lemonade brought to us as soon as we feel a little bit of heat. But these crops, the crops of this broken world, demand more time. Somebody say more time. These crops of the broken world that Christ is sending us out to demand more of our efforts, more of our energy, and more sacrifice than many of us are willing to make, which is why Christian after Christian after Christian goes year after year after year without bringing even one soul into the kingdom of God, failing in the gospel commission to make disciples. There are churches across our conference who don't bring one soul into the kingdom in a year's span of time. Jesus said, there's so much work to do. Will anybody join me out there in the heat? Out there where it's dirty and where it's messy and where it's uncomfortable to win one soul to see those 12 gates, to see that city. I came across this online. You see it on the screen. One of the farming websites. Someone writes, farming is a noble occupation, but it's not for the faint of heart. You see, it requires physical labor, and yet those who farm would not do anything else for all the money in the world. That's why many farms are handed down from one generation to the next. It's a call of nature as old as time. And it's one of the most rewarding jobs in the world. But farmers and their immediate families must be what? They must be dedicated. They must be hardworking. And they must be committed. Farmers love being farmers, but they'll tell you up front that it takes some work. So what does it take to be a good farmer? What are the characteristics of a harvester? And I submit to you these five characteristics of good farmers that we can apply to our work in becoming laborers in the Lord's harvest. You still with me? Say amen. Characteristic number one, they are early risers. Somebody say early risers. A farmer's day begins long before 12 noon. A farmer's workday begins long before most, in some instances, even before sunrise. A farmer has a hearty meal in the morning to sustain him, then gets out there early to start his work. And in the same way, we as laborers should rise early in the morning as well and have a hearty meal of God's word each morning before we start the day. Mark chapter 1, 35, Jesus' example. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and he departed to a solitary place. And there he did what? And there he prayed. This meal of prayer and God's word equips us for the task ahead. Jesus could not do all that he did without being filled with his word, with God. There is no way he could have dealt with Peter's bad breath, them dysfunctional disciples and the demands and the pressures of working in the vineyard had he not woken a long while before day and filled himself with a hearty meal of prayer and God's word. Characteristic number two, hard working. What did I just say? Hard working. A farmer has big, strong muscles from working out in the field all day. And our muscle is called that sweet Holy Spirit. We should constantly be using his strength to do our daily tasks, to to help us make decisions. The work of harvesting souls is bigger than us. Spiritual warfare is bigger than us. The work of Jesus healing entire towns and ministering to thousands was a task too big for Jesus alone. Therefore, we need muscles, not of our own, and God has promised to give us strength. Zechariah 4, verse 6, we read in the Bible, not by might nor by power, but by what? But by my spirit, says the Lord. What can God do through us with the power of his spirit? Number three, farmers not afraid to do dirty jobs. A farmer must sometimes do some dirty jobs, dirty bugs out there. Just dirt alone is dirty, messing up your nails and your hands and everything else. And in the same way, we should show the love of Christ in the dirtiest of situations. Sin has made life dirty and messy. I don't know about your life, your clean life, beautiful, lint-free life. But sin has made my life and other lives very messy. And Jesus entered into that mess. He daily enters into your mess for the cause of winning you to him. In the same way, we must do the same in the slums of Southeast D.C., in those townships of Baltimore, the worst neighborhoods of Langley Park. That is where Christ is calling us to go. Number four, characteristic caring. Farmers must constantly be caring for the crops, constantly watering and taking care of things, protecting them. And in the same way, we are called to make disciples. But making disciples takes time. That's why most Christians don't do it. Because it takes time, it takes investment, it takes dedication and patience. You don't just throw a handful of seeds out in the field and come back 3 years later expecting to reap anything. You care for it until it reaches that mature growth. And finally, characteristic number five, farmers are rewarded. At the end of the day, a farmer sees the growth and accomplishment. I told you about Whole Foods and Giant and Shoppers. At the end of the day, you see all of the work of your labor. And in the same way, we as laborers for Christ will be rewarded for the hard work that we do down here on earth. Jesus says in Revelation 22, 12, and behold, I come how soon? I'm coming quickly. And I've got a reward with me to give to everyone according as his work shall be. Christ has promised he will reward our laborers. He will reward our laborers. There is much work to do, amen? As I close, we say that we've been preaching, pretty much all of us have been preaching the same thing all year. There is much work to do. And God is calling on more of us to become farmers and harvesters alongside him. Some of us have been strong laborers for the Lord. You know, there's always in every church that 20% that slaves away and works and works and works and gives and gives and gives. And we praise God for the strong laborers among you that sacrifice, that give extra over, above, and beyond, because you too are stirred with the compassion of Christ. We're God, we praise God for you. And there are others among us who have maybe become distracted or even a bit discouraged along the way. I believe Jesus got discouraged sometime. I believe those disciples got discouraged. He was human just like us. Working in that vineyard, not seeing good fruit all the time, it can discourage you. But the good thing this morning is that God, the Lord of the harvest, is willing to take you and me as we are today, to renew us and restore us by his grace, and to empower us with his Holy Spirit, and then to send us back out into the vineyard, focused and effective laborers for him. Christ does not call us to do everything. There's no way any one of us could do it all. There's so much to do. But he has challenged each of us to help to do something. There's something each of us can do for the cause of Christ. He promises to sustain us. He will be our strength. He will reward us when he returns again. Won't you answer his prayer and join his harvest today? Three appeals, and then we'll let you loose. Appeal number one, I want to join Christ as a laborer in his harvest. Simple appeal. If that's your desire, I invite you to stand where you are. I don't judge your decision if you don't. But should you want to answer the appeal of Christ this morning, I want to join Christ as a laborer in his field. I don't know where. I don't know how. But I'm giving myself as a willing vessel to be used by him. Christ is marking your decision. Prayerfully make your decision. I respect those who are unable to stand due to physical things. But if you want to join Christ as a laborer, again, I invite you just to stand. God bless each one of you. Christ will use you. I see a smile on his face. He will use you to make a difference, to win some souls for him, to drag four and five others with you, to see that 350 souls in church listening to the gospel of Jesus. Appeal number two, I am a former laborer, but I've become a bit distracted. So many distractions in this first world, wealthy nation. So many distractions. Maybe you've been a laborer, but you are distracted. Maybe you've become discouraged along the way. And you need Christ to renew your spirits. If that's your desire, just wave your hand where you are. God sees your hand. If you just need a little extra dose of his spirit, you got distracted, maybe a bit discouraged, God bless you. You got a little discouraged along the way, God bless you, sir. Christ sees you. He sees you and he will respond. He will give you strength to do that which he has called you to do. And the final appeal is for whosoever under the sound of my voice so desires to give their life to Jesus afresh today. I'm coming down with you. If that's your desire, I just invite you to come forward. We'll take down your name. I will give you a call this week and we'll process how we can best serve you. If that is your desire to come and to give your life to Jesus today, maybe you've already done it. God bless you for making your decision. But perhaps there's someone who has not. And in this moment, not guaranteed tomorrow, you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart and on your mind, and you want to give your life to him today. This is your opportunity. Is there one that will give their life to Christ today? The rest of the church is praying as spirit work takes place in this moment. Is there one this morning that will give their life to Christ today? I just feel the urge to just linger just another moment. Is there one, anyone that hears Christ tugging at their heart, pulling you out of that vineyard, pulling you out of that dirty ground, to give you a fresh new start, a fresh new life in him? If that's anyone's desire, come on down. Turn your life into him today. Let us close together with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for your determination to save us. We thank you for not ending your mission here when you got tired or when you got discouraged or when there were so few that were willing to join you, so many just wanted to take from you and to take blessings and just wanted what they wanted, but there were so few who were willing to leave all, to get on their knees down on that field with you to reap some souls for the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for each one who responded to your call to become laborers for you. Lord, we can be the fastest growing church in the denomination. We can be through your Holy Spirit. We can fill these empty pews with hungry and thirsty souls desiring to hear truth, the gospel of the kingdom, and the word that you are coming soon to take us home again. May you fill each heart with an extra dose of your Spirit and of your grace. And Lord, may just some of us answer your call to serve you and to serve with you. We look forward to what you will do and for the bountiful harvest we will reap as we serve alongside you. Bless this church, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. God bless each one of you.